Hello and welcome to another episode of Omoluabi Podcast, where African proverbs meet biblical wisdom. My name is Joseph Ola, and with me today is
Anu. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. Today we'll be considering yet another Yoruba proverb and looking at that through the eyes of the scriptures. That's what we do in this podcast. We reflect on the wisdom of our ancestors in Yoruba proverbs and bring that to bear with scriptural, timeless scriptural insights. But before that, in our last episode, we got a feedback from one of our listeners, and we thought to acknowledge that. This is coming from Finifoluwa in Nigeria, and he asks a question in response to the episode. Finny says, thanks for this edifying podcast. My question is, if at some point I find myself in the buffalo's position, can my efforts be justifiable if my intention is to work on myself to break my limits? In other words, striving to be like the elephant in achieving an elephant size feat, unrelenting in my personal development, etc., etc. Of course, the proverb that we considered in the last episode says, Erin tweruku, efon tweruku, ti tweruku ajanoku, bote fomole, in which our emphasis was on incomparability. In other words, the capacity of the elephant to raise dust cannot and should not be compared with the capacity of the buffalo to raise dust, and that even though both of them could do that, one by virtue of its size, by virtue of its genetics, by virtue of its heredity, stands a better chance of effortlessly raising dust in a much grander way, than the buffalo could do. And that led to a dialogue between myself and Finn, and the main emphasis is on the one hand to mention the fact that many of these proverbs actually cater for one side of a reality, not necessarily both sides. And that's true of proverbs anywhere. I mean, if you look at the English language, you'll find two proverbs saying almost two opposite things. Something like, for instance, a stitch in time saves nine. That's telling you, do it quickly, do it right now. And then there is also look before you leap, telling you, okay, don't just do it hastily, take your time, and things like that. Or even going into the Bible, in Proverbs, I believe it's chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, where you see direct opposite contradictions. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you become like him. But then it goes on to say right in the next verse, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. In other words, if you answer a fool, there's every chance you'll be like him. But if you don't answer a fool, there's also every chance that the foolish person will continue to think he's wise. And so the question becomes, should I answer a fool or should I not answer a fool? And the wisdom is that there is a time to answer a fool and there is a time not to answer a fool. And so that proverb on incomparability, there is a time to aspire to be better. There is a time to seek personal development by virtue of what you've seen someone else do. But there's also the place of understanding that what the elephant would do, in this case, raising the dust by an elephant is inherently effortless for him. Even if the buffalo would try to achieve that feat, it would be stretching itself beyond its limits, which is fine if he wants to seek personal development. But the point is, for one person, it's effortless. For the other person, it's not. And the reason why it's effortless for one is because it's inbuilt. That's its genetically configured advantage that he has. But for the other person, you need to exert lots of effort. So why not just lean into what you have by virtue of your configuration, build on that rather than striving to be something else.
We can even conclude with what Finny then said when you've explained. He concluded with this: so even if through personal development the buffalo is able to achieve as much, it can never do it as stresslessly as the elephant would, for being an elephant. So he got the part of the exertion and the walking stresslessly. And I think that's the whole point of the proverb. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There are other proverbs that would stress or encourage you to develop yourself and things like that. And there is one episode that we have actually considered one of such proverbs where we looked at Asu Afofun Ko Je Ka Mo Olowo. Asu Afofun Ko Je Ka Mo Olowo. And that's also on the podcast and the archives. Do well to search that out. Okay, today we are moving on to another proverb. I know we'll read that out to us and we'll look at the interpretation together and flow on from there.
Omi lo danu agbe ofo. I'll say it again. Omi lo danu agbe ofo.
What does that mean?
It means that it's just the water that has spilled, but the container holding the water is still intact. And it's a proverb of hope.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, just as you said, I think it's a proverb of hope. It's a reminder we must always give ourselves. Again, as you are saying that, I'm thinking of one of the English proverbs that would say something like, "There's no use crying over spilled milk," which is one way to look at loss. I think actually this proverb is given in the context of if something has been lost, a lost opportunity, the loss of a loved one. I mean, just yesterday, my team won the FA Cup, Liverpool Football Club. And for Chelsea fans all over the world, they are suffering a loss, a terrible one at that. I'm sorry to say for Chelsea fans, apologies. But in that case, this kind of proverb can also come in to say, it's just the water that has spilled. The calabash is still intact.
The team is still there.
The team is still there. You can always come back next season and give it your shot again. And hopefully you get to the final of the FA Cup again. And hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully not. But yes, that's the point. There is hope as long as there is life. What biblical tangent would you view that kind of a proverb from?
It reminds me of Joseph. How that his water spilled at different times in his life. But he moved on. I'm not sure what he was thinking then, but I believe that he knows, maybe had a knowing of who he is or the God that he served, and that sustained him. So when we do go through loss, or when we are being accused of something we haven't done, we've tried explaining our best and no one is listening. Yes, it's painful. Say, for example, in the context of work, when you've built your reputation, you've done a good job, and all of a sudden they say, oh, you're not good enough. They no longer need your services. It would hurt. It would be painful. But then you know who you are. And you just move on. There's a stride in your step when you step out of that workplace, knowing how much you can contribute to the next place you go into. So even if our water, even if it spills like in different places, and especially when when it's taken us quite a while to gather things together, but nothing is working, nothing is forming the big picture we had in our minds. We should always know that we are the carrier of those goals. If we sustain those dreams, it will come to, we would always be able to achieve our goals. Or it might mean that we need to try something new, because sometimes when our water repeatedly spills, it might be a way of God telling us it might not be this, you might need to consider this instead. And when I'm saying this, the Holy Spirit is bringing into my mind when we're waiting to be pregnant, and it's taking years and years and nothing is coming forth, it might be an opportunity to consider other options. If our tummy wouldn't carry the child, is there other options that we can do? Can we adopt? Can we foster for just a few months to see what it feels like to live with a child and to deal with their messes and things like that? So there's always opportunities. We are who we are. We are dynamic. God has given us, it's given us intuition and power to make things happen. With Him backing us up, we can do all the things. So I'm just urging us today to seek further opportunities when the failure has been too repeated. Because sometimes, even if you're saying, Omilodanu agbe ofo, when our hope is not met, it brings, Yoruba calls it irewesi. And irewesi simply means discouragement. And that brings in bitterness and all the negative emotions.
Mm.
So my urge, what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning is that when one way hasn't worked out, seek God's face to see what next you should do.
Mm.
Because when we continue beating the same sound, expecting the same result, it might not work out that way. It might be God wanting us to do something else. And it goes again for our careers as well. When a boss can't be placed, the boss can't be placed and there's no promotion coming, the same pay, but you're working harder and harder, it might be time to just seek further opportunities. I, for example, I have this loyalty syndrome, especially for workplace, where I just tell myself, I can't leave them. How would they survive? What would they do? They won't know who to call. But then the spirit had to tell me, had to jam me up, like, Anu, there's no loyalty here. There are some workplaces that you're loyal to because of how much they've poured into you. But when you're not gaining as much from them, you would know instinctively that it is time to move on. And don't be afraid to make new applications, to do new interview. And there's an advantage where you're having job interviews while you're working, in the sense that you can tailor your most recent work experience to what they're asking you to do. And that makes you desirable to them because you are in the job, you're in the work. So we shouldn't be afraid of just seeking the opportunities when one way is not working out.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much. Just as you said, I mean, there are a couple of scriptures that came to mind with the dimension in which the Holy Spirit took your contribution to, especially with processing delays or processing seeming disappointments and all of that. There's this passage in Acts 16 where for a repeated cycle of events, it looked like every opportunity for ministry that Paul and his missionary team were exploring wasn't going through properly. From Acts 16, verse 6, it says that next they traveled through Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had told them not to go into the Turkish province of Asia Minor at that time. So Paul wanted to go to Asia Minor, the Holy Spirit said no. Then going all along the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus said no. And so they made yet another move, the Holy Spirit says no. Verse 8 says, so instead they went on through Mysia province to the city of Troas. But that night, verse 9, Paul had a vision, and in his dream he saw a man over in Macedonia, Greece, pleading with him, come over here and help us. And that became, you know, the option for them to explore, to go over to that region where, of course, the church in Philippi was eventually planted. So I thought that was a really beautiful example. With loss generally, and thank you for the case study of Joseph, you know, the loss of what seems to be as the best opportunities for the fulfillment of the dream God had given him at 17, being put in a pit, from there being sold into slavery, it looked like that was the end. But again, Omilodanu agbe ofo, there is something inside Joseph that sustained him, as it were. Now, in the New Testament sense of it, we would say that's the Spirit of God himself. Paul will write to the Colossians and say, Christ in you is your hope of glory. So this hope thing that we're talking about, really, for the child of God, there is an advantage, there is an edge. This statement of Omilodanu agbe ofo could be said in a secular sense, basically. It doesn't have to be a biblical concept. The difference in the sense of hope for a Christian and hope for an unbeliever is that for us, we have an advantage. We have the real deal as far as hope is concerned. And that hope is Christ that is in us. To wrap up, I'll just read from the book of Job that speaks into what we've been talking about. And this is Job chapter 14, verse 7 to 9. I like that it uses the imagery of a tree this time around. It says, for there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. I love that. That there is hope for that tree, even after the tree has been cut down, even after it seems like the stump are dead in the ground. But at the scent of water, if that same dead stump, I mean, they will say when there is life, there is hope. But in this case, it's even saying the stump is dead. But at the scent of water, it will sprout again. I think the Bible uses the same language for Sarah's womb, that her womb was dead. But in spite of the deadness of her womb, because she hoped against hope, she got the promise realized in physical, tangible form. And so our encouragement for our listeners today is keep the hope alive. Mm-hmm. I could also use the opportunity to extend to you the mantra of my football club, Liverpool, that you will never walk alone. You've got the Spirit of God on your inside. You've got a community of believers around you. Whatever the Spirit of God is saying to you about your loss, lean into it. Grieve if you have to. Mourn if you have to. But at the end of the day, lean into the Spirit and lay hold on that which is being said. Lay hold on the promise and believe that faithful is he who has spoken, who will also accomplish it. So that's our word for this week. As you go into the week, just remember, in any situation of seeming loss you might be going through, Omilodanu Agbeofo. The Lord bless you. Any final words?
No, thank you.
So we'll see you again in the next episode. Until then, remain and
Omoluabi.
God bless you.
Bye.